everyone, it's Grace. And I'm not going to tell you about my calendars because they are sold out. Thank you so much to all who purchased them. I really hope they make your 2021 a bit nicer. For those of you who feel like you missed your chance, I do want to let you know that I have just put up an Etsy shop where you can get affordable prints and cards of my work. I'm probably only going to keep the shop open for the holiday season, so if you see something you like, it's probably best just to get it as soon as possible. The link to my shop will be in the show notes. Thanks so much, and now on to our show.
Hi, I'm Alvina Ling.
And I'm Grace Lin.
And we're Book Friends Forever.
We're childhood friends that grew up to be
a children's book editor
and an author and illustrator.
Welcome to Book Friends Forever, the holiday gift recommendations episode. Every week we catch up with each other's lives, talk about what's on our minds, and share with each other what we're grateful for.
And check out our website, bookfriendsforever.com. The website will include more detailed show notes as well as links to the episodes.
And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy our podcast, please tell a friend about it.
Also, we have a favor to ask all of you. We've put out a new survey that we'd love your feedback on. It's only 7 questions long, and it shouldn't take you more than a few minutes to fill out. We'd really appreciate it.
So today we have a special returning guest joining us, Allison Morris, who you all know from her book recommendation segment and also as a past guest when we talked to Allison about First Book. So welcome back, Allison.
Hi, yay, thank Allison. You. So always so great to talk to you guys instead of recording alone in a closet somewhere.
Yes, it's so great to have you. So we do always start with catching up on each other's lives. So Allison, why don't you start? How have you been?
I have been good. It was nice to get a little downtime over Thanksgiving vacation break. It was hard not to be with my family, my parents in particular. But, you know, being safe was more important than seeing them. And it was nice just to have a couple quiet days at home. And also my husband, who's a graphic novelist, Gareth Hines, he is on deadline for his current book. And so it's been a little stressed around our household, but I think the balance of a little bit of vacation in the middle of that was nice, too.
Great. Yeah. Grace, how about you? How have you been?
Well, our Thanksgiving was also really low-key. We just had, like, my husband and my daughter, we just had a meal that we got from Whole Foods and zoomed in with the family. So it was really low-key. But what we did to make it more exciting, I think I might have mentioned this on one of our earlier episodes, is that we had our annual chicken run, our second annual Yay. Chicken run. So
awesome.
We invited all the families from our pod over, and Hazel set up this kind of like obstacle course where you have to get an egg and put it in a spoon and walk halfway across the yard and then put the spoon down and then run around the chicken run like 5 times. And so it was like this kind of big like deal for her, and then it was like this big race for all the kids, and it was really fun. She made like ribbons for everyone, and she and people came in costume. so that made
that
the
awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was really cute, like they all had little chicken costumes and stuff. So
nice. So, I love it.
Yes, one parent came with like a chicken head, and then like she had cut out a foam core, like a yoke that she wore. Aww. And I think wings. So we were like, it's a little confusing because you're a yoke, yet you're also a chicken. But
a
it was
baby chicken inside it. No, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Then you have to go get fertilized eggs, not
yes.
fertilized. Yeah, it's complicated.
It was very complicated, but it was all in great fun. So it was super fun. And we actually spent most of our Thanksgiving shredding paper.
So that sounds so fun.
So I don't know what came over me, but like a week ago I'm like, I should just shred all this paper, because I have like, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, like almost like 10 boxes of like old financial records that are like just taking space in the storage room. And I just keep adding another box every year, you know. And I looked at it and I was like, I should really just get rid of all this. You know, it's just taking up space. I guess that's part of the pandemic. You live in your space so long. Before, I could just, you know, pretend it wasn't there. Yeah. But now I see it so often, I'm like, I just have to get rid of these, like, financial documents from 2002. So we took them all out, and I started shredding them. It's going to take me weeks and weeks, but, like, all day we're just shredding. And what's really funny is that my daughter loves shredding. She thinks it's the funnest thing ever.
Oh, I mean, it is fun.
I liked it as a kid in particular, too.
Yeah, she was just like, yeah. I remember I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, I'll pay you to help me shred these papers. And she started doing it, and she's like, this is so much fun. You don't have to pay me. And she's like shredding them all. So
she's like, I should pay you.
So she's having such a good time. But nice. Like, the studio,
I mean, Grace, that's a shredding service you could set up and monetize. I'm just saying, you should treat that neighbors. And they're not going to be worried about Hazel reading those personal documents.
That's true. But, like, my studio has never been so messy for it, because it's just, like, you know, so much shredded paper everywhere, and, like, the boxes have come out. You know, like, it's just such a mess. So, but that is how we have spent our vacation shredding paper.
I love it.
To Hazel, she's like, it's such a success. She's like, this is so much fun. Let's do this every Thanksgiving.
A new tradition born this year.
Yes. Chicken run and paper shredding.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alvina, how have you been?
Oh, I've been good. I should mention to our listeners that we're recording this on Monday, November 30th. So it is the Monday after Thanksgiving, hence all of our Thanksgiving updates.
Right.
My Thanksgiving was also very mellow. It was just me and Stephen and his father, Bob. And we actually, you know, I'll do you one better than Whole Foods. We ordered our dinners from Friendly's, which I guess we used to go in upstate New York, but I don't really remember the food very well. I think of Friendly's more for ice cream. But
we went to Friendly's quite often as kids. I remember your older brother.
I waitressed for a summer. So yeah.
Oh, wow.
When we went as kids, your older brother Felix would often get the really big sundae. Gosh, now I forgot what it's called. It was on the tip of my tongue. But he'd get that big sundae. We would all watch in awe as he would, like, shovel the whole thing down. I have very vivid memories of that.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember that that was the place to go. Like, that was, like, the cool place to go.
The Jim Dandy. That was what the sundae was called.
Jim Dandy. I also remember that I think Friendly's commercials was how I learned how to spell friend.
Friendly.
Anyway, so we had a friendly Thanksgiving, and they have a very excellent Thanksgiving dinner, but they weren't actually open on Thanksgiving Day. So we ordered the Thanksgiving dinner on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and we actually had our Thanksgiving dinner on Wednesday. but we got an apple pie. I usually make an apple pie on Thanksgiving, but I don't have any of my ingredients or equipment up here in Burlington. So we bought one from the grocery store, but it was delicious. Actually the big thing we did recently is I think I've mentioned that Bob was going to head to assisted living after our stay in Burlington, and actually he decided to go ahead and go in earlier because the home that he had picked had a special, a move-in special before the winter. So on Saturday we helped him move to the assisted living center, and you know, so it was a little bit emotional, but overall it was good. I mean, I think it was time, and the facility is really wonderful. Actually, it's like, it's just everyone's so nice there. Everything's clean and feels new, and you know, and he's only been there a couple days now, but he's already loving it and really loving the food. And so that was definitely a momentous event.
It's going to be a big change for you guys now.
So now this is the first time we're living just the two of us. So we've been calling it a new chapter. And it's funny because I almost feel like we're playing house now that we have the whole townhouse to ourselves. I actually took this week off as vacation, and I'm so glad I did, because I just feel like we need a week to kind of recover and transition.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing well.
Bringing up emotional stuff for me as someone who had to make that same transition with one of my parents. So
yeah,
it's challenging.
Yeah, you know, I remember we talked about that when you visited.
Yeah. Yes. I'm just so glad that he found a place that he felt good about going to, and that you guys feel good about. That's going to make all the difference. And the social aspect of it, I hope, will be really good for him, too.
I think so, too. He is, unfortunately, having to be in quarantine for 2 weeks before he can interact with, you know, the other residences. Although, right. he does have a lot of great care with all, you know, the nurses and the people
aides
there
and others coming in.
Yeah, exactly. So, he's loving the attention. So that's good.
Great.
All right. So today's episode is called Holiday Gift Recommendations. So with the holidays coming up, Grace and I wanted some help on what books to give some of the children in our lives. And we thought that Allison, as a former bookseller and someone who stays up to date on new releases as well, that you'd be the perfect person to help us with our gift giving.
Yay! Thank you, Allison!
It was fun for me. I'm so often thinking through the lens of teachers and buying for them, and then also thinking about what kids are going to respond to, but I'm less often being like, specifically, what do I think this kid is going to be super excited about on this sort of individualized level? And so this was a good exercise for me. It's also helpful because I've been getting these requests from a lot of people recently, and I can potentially say, listen to this episode if you have a kid who fits the following description. So thank you for that.
You should probably set up a service talking about monetizing services.
Yes.
Personal shopper.
Yes. Personal book recommendation.
This
shopper
has crossed my mind. I do think it's great, though, that so many independent booksellers are able to provide this for their members and customers as well. It's certainly something I did for our members all the time. I think the hard thing is if you don't have a store that you know and love and are close to, or a librarian or a teacher who's really well informed, it can be hard to figure out where you go for something that's a personalized recommendation. So
exactly.
Happy I could be of help.
Yay. All right. So I will start. Okay. So first up is my nephew. His name's Cappy, and he's about 12 years old. He's not a really big reader, but he does read graphic novels. He likes anime and Minecraft and Fortnite, all kinds of like those kind of computer games that are really big now with teen boys. And he likes stories with lots of action. And so he'd not take to anything that looks kind of young or kid-like. But last year I gave him Gareth Hines's graphic novel, The Odyssey, and that was a really big hit with him, and as well with his mom too. So I would love to get something like that again, or something even better. What do you have for me?
Okay. So Cappy was actually one of the more challenging ones. I like a good challenge. My first most obvious recommendation is that you could follow up with The Iliad, also by Gareth Hines. It's obviously a little more sophisticated from the storytelling standpoint, but it dovetails really well with the other things that you mentioned that have appealed to him. And the fact that it is more sophisticated, a little bit older, also will probably work for him. I'm also shocked at how many young kids are reading it. Gareth hears all the time from parents of, you know, kids as young as 8 and even younger whose kids are rereading the Iliad for like the 3rd or 4th time.
Wow.
Which is not words I ever thought I would say about the Iliad. But that graphic novel format just makes it so accessible. And there's so much really challenging and interesting social and emotional content in the book. I think it's a really good book to sort of think about the way we treat other people. And there's a lot about toxic masculinity. I would not sell it to Cappy on those terms, but I'm saying that to you. The other thing that I will mention, and this is not because I want to plug my husband again, but because I think there's some relevant overlap in themes, is there's a nonfiction book he illustrated written by Pam Turner called Samurai Rising. And it is a biography about the most famous samurai in Japanese history. It is chock full of fascinating information and a lot of battle strategy, which might, again, be of interest to him if he winds up reading The Iliad and liking it, and also just thinking about Fortnite and other sort of video games, computer games, programs that have sort of strategy as an element and component. If he's not a big reader, it might be a little intimidating for him. But again, I think that if he started reading it, I think he'd find the content really engaging. Another nonfiction book. I also think nonfiction is sometimes not a whole lot of teens are necessarily always handed nonfiction as a path to reading, and a lot of them really do respond to it and like it. And another nonfiction book I read very recently and can't shut up about is All 13, The Incredible Cave Rescue of the Thai Boys Soccer Team by Christina Soontorn-Vaught, which you guys have probably heard people talking about.
Mm-hmm,
it's got many starred reviews at this point. I could not put it down. It is a hefty book. It's a $25 hardcover, filled with full-color photographs. Christina was actually in Thailand visiting her family when the soccer team was trapped in this cave in 2018. And she really wanted people to understand what was happening on the ground in Thailand at the time. And I could not put the book down. I was riveted. And Gareth was in another room and he kept hearing me say, "Oh my God, are you kidding me?" Like I could not stop emoting. It was moving. It was inspiring. And there's a lot of interesting technology and engineering elements to the story because it's all about how you get into this, you know, tiny, tiny space that is filled with water. It is just incredibly suspenseful. And I really think even kids who are a little more reluctant, if they start it, they're going to find themselves unable to stop reading.
That sounds good.
Then two new graphic novel suggestions. There's a graphic novel adaptation of Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds, done by Danica Novgorodov, and it's incredibly powerful. And there's also Jean Len Yang has a new graphic novel called Dragon Hoops that is about one of the sort of winningest high school basketball teams in the country. And it's a profile of the coach who's leading that team and a whole bunch of the players on that team a couple of years ago when Jean was making this decision of whether or not to leave teaching to do comics full time. And part of the enjoyment of the book is the fact that Jean really went into it having, like, knowing almost nothing about basketball. So it's also this great sort of admission of his own sort of like nerd status and how immersed he's been in this comics world and computer science and how much he's not paid attention to sports. So he does a really good job of bringing you along and making you care about the game along with him. So those are my thoughts for Cappy.
Awesome.
Wow, those are
Yay.
So great.
I'm going to grab
some of those for myself.
Yes, well, and I want to say, like, some of these also work for all ages, but all of these actually work for all ages.
Great. So next up will be my nephew, Trogdor. He is 9 years old. He is reading the Wings of Fire series right now and is loving it. He's a big reader, actually. His family, they do a lot of read-alouds together. I know they read Charlotte's Web, which he loved. They also just did a read-aloud of all the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe series. He also loves Minecraft and programming. He's really into, I would say, more kind of science and math oriented in addition to reading.
Great. All right. So Trogdor has an amazing name. I first of all have to comment as someone who watched a lot of Strong Bad videos at one point in my life.
He was named after, those videos.
Yes. Love it. Trogdor is also, so he's 9, I think you said, right, Aldina? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he is the perfect age for great books that are filled with facts. So one of my most successful gift-giving titles in past years has been National Geographic Kids 5,000 Awesome Facts About Everything. Ooh. And then other titles sort of in that series and in that vein from Nat Geo. These are books that are just, I mean, truly that book is 5,000 awesome facts with visual support for almost all of them. And it's the type of book that he will dip into at this phase of his life and on for a couple of years. It's also, these are great books to give to families with multiple siblings because when I first gifted, I think it was like to a kid in second grade and his fifth grade sister was just as interested in it as he was. And you can sort of, you know, read a couple pages, go back to it another time, read a few more. They're just really great books. So that's 5,000 Awesome Facts About Everything. This clearly Trogdor and his family have a good sense of humor. And I thought that he might like The Life of Zarf, which is a series by Rob Harrell. And the first title in the series is The Trouble with Weasels. And I would describe it as Shrek meets Monty Python.
Great.
It has a nerdy, really entertaining sensibility that I think would be great for a kid who enjoyed The Hitchhiker's Guide. Also great sense of humor is Sal and Gabby Break the Universe by Carlos Hernandez. And that is part of the Rick Riordan Presents imprint. And it's a Cuban-influenced sci-fi story. It has a lot of humor, a lot of action. And also, when I was making sure today that I had my facts straight, I realized that it is coincidentally blurbed by Tui Sutherland, who writes the Wings of Fire series. So,
perfect.
Sort of brings it all full circle. There's also a really funny book with a really terrible paperback cover. Apologies to Workmen, but I'm saying it. Fearsome Creatures of the Lumber Woods, 20 Chilling Tales from the Wilderness, is a hilarious tall tales sort of send-up. written by Hal Johnson, illustrated by Tom Mead, and it is these imaginary creatures from the wilderness, and these ridiculous accounts of people seeing these creatures in the wild. And the narrator is completely unreliable, and it's just, it's really, really fun. Like, there's the Slide Rock Bolter is one of my favorite. It's the story of a giant fish that attaches itself to the side of a mountain and then slides down and, like, mucus under its belly and, like, clears out everything in its path and then slides up to the next peak. And so no one can figure out what's happening, how, like, entire farms are disappearing overnight. So it's absurd and it's really fun. And he's amazing. Just old enough, I think, to appreciate the sophistication of the humor. And then there's also a series called Trapped in a Video Game by Dustin Brady that is pretty much just, I mean, it literally is about what it sounds like being trapped in a video game. And it's a really engaging one for kids who really like video games. And so that might be a good fit, too.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great ideas.
Okay, here's another one. This is a little bit different. My daughter, as the listeners know, we have a pod for her, and it's four girls. Some of the girls are the same girls that were in my Chicken Reader book club, the book club that I've had in the past with her. And so we're going to start a new book club called The Winter Bookworms. And so I would like to get them all the same book for the holidays and to start our book club. So they're all third graders. Their reading level is uneven. Some are really, really good readers and some are not as good. They have all read and loved Harry Potter. Right now they've read most of the popular books. Like right now they're reading like How to Train Your Dragon, things like that. What I'd really like to give them is kind of like a classic that they probably haven't heard before, and that would be a really good read aloud. They prefer animal stories, humor, and plot-driven stories. In the past, when I did the book club, like a real winner was The Hoboken Chicken Emergency, one that did not do well. I don't think it was because of the book's quality, but more about the way the book was set up, and also the girls' reading level was The Unusual Chickens for the Exceptional Poultry Farmer. Like, that did not go well. So okay. That kind of gives you an idea if you know those books.
Yeah. So the first thing that came to mind for me, because you'd said they like animal stories and sort of thinking about classics, because you'd said you were interested in a classic, was Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim by Robert C. O'Brien.
I love that one.
It's great, and I will tell you, it holds up really, really well. I reread it last year, maybe 2 years ago, and I think I enjoy it as much every time as I have the previous times. It's just a really terrific story, beautifully written. The sophistication of the text is, I mean, I guess when you're saying they've read Harry Potter, I'm assuming that in this book club situation, they're reading some on their own and with parent support and or yes. Read aloud. It may be a little beyond some of them, but
yeah. But this book that I'm hoping to choose will be ones that we will read aloud together.
So. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so I would say Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim would be a great choice. If you want a sort of modern book or newer book that is also in the similar vein as far as the things you said have worked well, like humor-centered animal stories, Skunk and Badger by Amy Timberlake, illustrated by John Klassen, is a brand new book that is a terrific read aloud. It is about, it sort of feels in the classic vein of like Frog and Toad in that it's about two animals who become friends, but they have very opposite personalities. And for a while, it does not look like this is going to succeed at all. they wind up being housemates through an unexpected set of circumstances, but it is an absolute joy. And I will tell you, I read it on my own, but it wanted to be read aloud. And so I, honest to God, sat in my kitchen and read aloud two chapters of it to no one because I so wanted to read it aloud and see if it sounded as good as I thought it would. And it totally works.
Great. So, how many chapters is it?
That's a great question. I don't know. It is definitely shorter than Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim. And so it sort of straddles that line between chapter book and young middle grade, a little more to the chapter book end. There's definitely going to be a little bit of sophisticated vocabulary in it, but it could be that these girls will be able to access a fair amount of it on their own.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah, but it's a great read aloud. And it's a read aloud that works for very young kids too. Like, it's definitely one you could do as a family read aloud. It like lends itself perfectly to that.
Awesome.
Great. All right. Well, next up is my other nephew, brother of Trogdor, and his name is Integer, but we call him Bjobi, and he's 5 years old. He also loves Minecraft and spaceships. He loves building things with blocks. He likes dragons. He loves animals. I asked him actually at our Zoom call what his favorite animal was, and he just immediately said pigs. And he loves drawing and, you know, making. He makes like these little fun animal friends out of paper all the time. So.
Oh, nice. Yes. Making animals out of paper. I didn't know that part. All right, I'll have to think if that triggers anything additional. So he sounds like a super creative kid, and the love of building things and spaceships made me think about sort of spatial relations and like things that move. And what came to mind for me as a really fun picture book option for him is Lift, written by Min Lay and illustrated by Dan Santat. And it's a picture book that is about a kid who gets very frustrated when her younger brother punches all the buttons, her younger brother gets to push the button in the elevator, and she wanted to do it, so she gets angry and pushes them all. The elevator winds up breaking, and when a technician comes to repair it, she sees that he's thrown out the elevator button, like the sort of console that holds the button, and so she takes it from the trash and puts it on the wall next to her closet. And sure enough, when you push that button, now your closet basically becomes an elevator that opens up into essentially different worlds on different floors. It's a really, really fun book. It's sort of a mind-blowing concept to imagine this elevator in your house that would take you to different worlds, let alone in your bedroom. And it's a really fun sibling story, too. So that is Lift by Min Lay and Dan Santat. Since you said he likes drawing, I also wanted to suggest the Doodle Adventure series by Mike Lowry. And the first title in that series is The Search for the Slimy Space Slugs, which dovetails a bit with his space interest. This is a series that is comics, sort of young comics, simple comics, and there are various places where you are supposed to draw the action or what is happening, and they're really like madcap funny adventure stories, and I think they're good sort of early comics, so he might enjoy those, and that might be fun also for him and Trogdor to do together, because reading level wise Trogdor will be able to read them for sure. There's also two new wordless books that are really fun and very inventive, one of them is called Field Trip to the Moon, and the other is called Field Trip to the Ocean Deep by John Hare, H-A-R-E. And in each case, we have a kid who is on a field trip to one of these two different locations and gets separated from the rest of the class and encounters some unexpected beings in that location and has this whole adventure that the other kids don't even know is happening until they see photos of it later. They're really funny and clever, and I do love a good wordless book. You can go back through it again and again. And I think that those would really work for him. And then also, I'm just going to mention the Narwhal and Jelly series by Ben Clanton. They're really fun for animal lovers. They have this warm, charming sensibility and lots of humor. And I know kids as young as 2 who are obsessed with them and memorizing phrases from them, which is interesting. But I think 5 is actually a really good fit age-wise for those.
Okay, so the next is Martha, who is actually me and Alvina's good friend, John and Loretta, Loretta's daughter. Martha is 7 years old, but she reads well above reading level. She like reads really thick books, and she reads all the time. I think her preferred area of reading, I think, is dragons, dinosaurs, and I think she must also really like adventure, because I'm told that she really, really enjoyed my Mulan book. I guess she read it like 5 times on the first day. So, so I think those are kind of the things she's interested in. So what do you have?
Okay. So the first one that came to mind for me is Dragons in a Bag by Zeta Elliott. It's about an African-American boy whose grandmother, who's a witch, has asked him to deliver 3 baby dragons to a magical world where they will be safe. And in the sequel, The Dragon Thief, which stars his best friend's sister, we sort of learn that actually something else has happened and she's thrown a bit of a wrinkle in those plans and has a big secret. They are middle grade, but they're sort of a they're not a sophisticated, high-level middle-grade read. I don't think she'll have any trouble reading the text at all. It sounds like she can read pretty much anything. But I think age-wise, appropriate-wise, content-wise, they'll be a great fit for her. And they're really fun. The magical elements of it bring a lot of humor and charm to the story. So that's Dragons in a Bag, and then the sequel is The Dragon Thief, both by Zeta Elliott. I'm going to plug a book coming in January that I loved, which is Katie and the Cat Sitter, written by Colleen A.F. Venable and illustrated by Stephanie Yu. And it is about a girl who lives in an apartment building, and she gets this unexpectedly awesome gig, cat sitting, for a really glamorous, beautiful African-American woman who lives in her apartment building. But this woman has 217 cats, and they're not normal cats. They all turn out to have different superpowers in the world. They have amazing skills. These cats have mad skills, and they're skills like 3D printing, defusing bombs. And it turns out that also the cat's owner has a secret identity. And this is a world that is populated with superheroes, and it's just a really, really fun book. And I can't wait until it's out in the world. It's the start of a series, and kids are going to love it. And it seems like Martha might be a great fit for that. There's also another new graphic novel called The Witches of Brooklyn by Sophie Escabas, about a girl who winds up moving in with two older relatives she's never met before and discovers that they actually develop spells and have all sorts of abilities that come in handy when a celebrity lands on their doorstep with a problem that only they can solve. And it's really entertaining. And so, yeah, those are my first three thoughts.
Awesome.
For Martha.
Amazing. All right. So next up is my niece. Now I'm moving to my younger brother's family. My niece, Shoshana, she is 5, but will be 6 in January. She loves Disney, Disney princesses. What is it? Let It Go. Which one is that?
Frozen.
Frozen, Moana. She loves to sing. She loves to dance, especially. She also takes Taekwondo.
When you said Taekwondo, I was like, oh, there's got to be a great book. And I'm like, there are not a whole lot for that age group. There's a fun step into reading book about Taekwondo. But I went first to the sort of princess theme. The obvious question is whether or not she already has or knows about the Princess in Black series by Shannon Hale and Lewin Pham.
Oh, I don't think so.
Because those tend to be a really big hit with the Disney princess-loving girls who discover them. And even the just anyone. They're just fun. They're fun adventure stories. So those came to mind for me immediately. And I also think they're great read-alouds for 5. They're starting to get into, like, they're, you know, sort of beginning reader-level books, and they're longer than a picture book. But she's probably at a point where she's willing to sit and listen to longer stories. And so I think they're perfect for that age bracket. And then also sort of beginning reader into chapter book level read alouds that I thought she might like are the Yasmin series by Sadia Faruqi. Because in that series, Yasmin, we see her doing different activities and trying on different roles and things that are of interest to her. And she's clearly a girl who has a lot of talents and interest in various things. So you might pick one in that series that sort of dovetails with her interest in singing or dancing or other activities. The Zoe and Sassafras series by Asia Citro, which, if I recall correctly, Hazel, Grace's daughter, has also really enjoyed. They're a great story, great series about an African-American girl and her mother who have the ability to see magical creatures that other people cannot, and they essentially perform veterinary care for these magical creatures. The creatures come to them when they're sick, something is going wrong, they diagnose what's happening, and they diagnose it using the scientific method, so it introduces kids to a lot of really great STEM-related content as well. And then I also wanted to just riff on the sort of, you had mentioned Moana specifically when you were telling me about Shoshana. And I was like, plucky, smart girls who are on an island environment. And I have two great suggestions for that. One is Galapagos Girl or Galapaguena by Marcia Diane Arnold, illustrated by Angela Dominguez. And this is a picture book about a girl who actually grew up on the Galapagos Islands and about her interactions with animals and how, as an adult, she has become a scientist and this is her world and the care she provides to these species. So it's kind of ultimately an inspiring nonfiction book, but it's also just about growing up with these animals in a really unique environment. And then there's a new picture book called Rocket Says Clean Up by Nathan Bryan, illustrated by Dapple Adeola. And this is about a girl who is of African descent who goes to visit her grandparents who run a nature preserve on an island, presumably in the Caribbean. I don't remember if they actually tell us what island they're on, but she discovers that the beaches haven't been cared for and that a lot of cleanup needs to happen because it's influencing and damaging the lives of these animals on the island. And so both of those are about really plucky, strong girls who are making a difference in their community, which is why they come to mind when Moana comes up as well.
Oh, wonderful. So, thank you.
Sure.
All right. Then, and next up is my neighbor's kid. She's 15 years old. I don't know her super well, but I know she likes to read a lot of books and verse. What do you have for that?
I love kids who love novels and verse because I love them too. So, I mean, the one that comes to mind immediately is Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo. It is her most recent novel, and it is about two girls who have the same father but don't know the other exists until there's an accident that happens and he passes away, and each of them learns about the other. And one of them has grown up in the Dominican Republic with very few financial resources available to her, and the other has led a moderately affluent life in New York City. And it's about their sort of emotional struggles when they learn about one another and about the questions they have. And it's just a beautiful, moving story. And I think any teenager who does not know Elizabeth Acevedo's work and who is interested in poetry at all should absolutely pick it up or her previous novels in verse. And yeah, that is Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo.
Awesome.
Yeah. I just wanted to add a book and verse that actually, you know, because we have not been plugging any Little Brown books, although Lift is a Little Brown book that Allison mentioned earlier. But The Canyon's Edge by Dusty Bowling, that's a new book and verse. It's actually middle grade, but I think it's sophisticated as well. And we call it Hatchet Meets A Long Way Down. So it's basically a girl is coming to terms with a tragedy in her past, and she and her father are taking a climbing trip that goes terribly wrong. So, you know, it's a survival story and really, really gripping and really beautiful. So that's maybe another one she would love.
I really enjoyed her previous book. So great. I've been looking forward to reading that one. And I bought that one for first book, and it's done well for us. We've gotten some great customer reviews of that one too.
Wonderful.
Yay. Great suggestion, Albina.
All right. So for next up for me is my nephew, Bryson. He's kind of the baby of my niece and nephews. He's 3. He loves cars. I know he dressed up as one of the characters from the Pixar movie Cars for Halloween. You know, that family just got a new dog, a little Datsun. Datsun.
I think it's
so
Dachshund.
I know he loves. Yes. So I know he loves dogs as well. You know, he's just like a happy little kid. So I'm actually not sure. Oh, yeah. Aside from like cars and dogs, what his interests are yet.
Cars and dogs. The obvious question is whether or not he already has Cars and Trucks and Things That Go by Richard Scarry.
Ooh, I don't
because
think so.
It is a classic for a reason. And it's another one that they will get a couple years of use out of with all of the detail in the pictures and all the different kinds of vehicles and invented vehicles. And it's a joy. And then a sort of more contemporary take on the same concept is Everything Goes on Land by Brian Biggs. So this is another book where it's got these big full spreads filled with different modes of transportation and different vehicles. And so it's just a visual delight, and it's great for kids who are really into cars and trucks and other vehicles. And then the other one that came to mind for me immediately was Go Dog Go by P.D. Eastman.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's dogs driving cars. It is absurd, that book. It is completely absurd, but it still has a lot of delight, and kids really like it. And he's also at that age where he's going to start memorizing books a lot.
Well, that book, though, there. I read that book with Hazel so many times that she's like, I don't understand why he doesn't like her hat. Yeah. He's like, what's wrong with her hat? It's very nice.
What is that parenting blog about the Volvo, the ugly Volvo?
Oh, yes.
It's like one of the funniest blog posts I ever did is that is a post that is encouraging that female dog to just not care what anyone thinks about her hat. It's really funny.
It's really funny. Throughout the book, there's always this female. I should have prefaced this, but throughout the book, there's this female dog that's like, "Do you like my hat?" to another dog.
One of the random dogs, yeah.
And he's always like, "No."
Yeah, he never likes her hat. It's not clear why she's asking, though. She doesn't seem to change her hats for him. I think she seems like she doesn't really care. Which
no,
like,
she changes it at the end. He finally likes it at the end because she changes to a party hat.
That's true. It's a very elaborate party hat at the end. Yes.
I feel like I'm sitting in a book club discussion about that.
Do you know if Bryson's family has Pretzel, the book about the dachshund?
Oh, I don't know.
Anything with books with dachshunds, like, you know.
Right, yeah, because they just, part of, for Christmas last year, I gave him that stuffed animal dog that you used as a model. Well, it's from the Ezra Jack Keats books,
yes.
But you used as a model in your A Big Bed for Little Snow, and he loves that little dog. And actually, that I remember my sister-in-law Iris was like, "Maybe we'll get a dog like that. He loves it so much." So
nice.
they did.
Well, and that's Peter's dog, from Whistle for Willie.
Yes. And, oh, yes. I should get that.
The Snowy yes. Day, but Whistle for Willie is a great dachshund book, and so is Up on Bob by Mary Sullivan. And it's great. It's quite young and has very little text. And it's about sort of a war between a cat and a dachshund in this household. It's really funny.
So that would be another excellent options.
All right. My last one, but not the least, is my daughter, Hazel. She's 8 years old, but she's a very quirky reader. She's not like a thick book reader. She likes really funny books or adventure books and books with animals. She's the big animal person. Her favorite books have been like Inspector Flytrap and Dee Dee Dodo and Olga. Now she's reading Bad Kitty. She, like I said, she's a little quirky. She does not like books that look literary, right? So like, I can't get her to crack open Charlotte's Web, even though I tell her it's like, it's not about the girl, it's about the pig. And she's like, no. She likes things that like, Grimm, this is going to be funny. You know, she would really like to have a book with a duck character. So if you can figure that out, you will get many, many gold stars from our house. She has read the only books that we have found with duck characters that is of her age level have been the Miss Mallard books. And she has read all of them.
Does she think she's beyond picture books, or will she listen to picture books being read aloud to her?
She will listen to picture books, but I think I'm trying to find her books that she can have for independent reading for school.
So I'm going to cheat and suggest a title that is coming out in March. So it won't work for the holidays, but you can look ahead to March. There is a really charming and funny chapter book coming out by Atunuke, who is a Nigerian author. And you may know her Anna Hibiscus chapter book series and some of her picture books. And it is called Too Small Tola. And it is about a girl who everyone thinks is too small to accomplish much. But in each case, her smallness has its advantages. And it's very, very funny. So that's coming out in March. In the more immediate category, I think that Hazel would really like this series called Creature Campers that is about a summer camp for a variety of different creatures, including humans. I think there's one human, one alien, a Bigfoot, a jackalope, a whole cast of characters who are very atypical campers. And it is very, very funny. So she might like that. She also might like My Pet Slime, which is a series about a girl who discovers that her slime is actually able to talk to her and that it also has some magical powers related to some space dust. Both of those are very quirky and have this humorous sensibility and also a lot of action. Which makes me think that they might fit the bill for Hazel. There's a lot of great chapter books coming out right now.
She likes the
really,
ridiculous.
Really likes reading them. She likes what?
She likes the ridiculous.
She likes the ridiculous.
Does she know the Hazel know the Kondo and Kazumi books? by David Goodner and Andrea Tsuzumi, I think is her last name. Those are some books that were on the Disney list that came over to LBYR. And I'll be honest, I haven't read them, but they look absolutely quirky and right up her alley. So I would recommend those.
I will look at them.
Not that awesome. We're the ones recommending. and then since we didn't really cover any baby books, we thought we'd just throw out maybe some suggestions for a new baby. Potentially.
So I'm going to cheat and say that I think Grace's new board books are amazing for babies. They're so great. There are four of them. I love the diversity of the kids represented in the titles, and each of them introduces a different sort of foundational level math concept for kids, but they don't feel math heavy. They're just like relatable topics and content that kids will appreciate, like different sizes and finding the right size thing to put your pumpkin into. Or just understanding different shapes and blowing bubbles and looking at the shapes of the bubbles. And I really think that they're gems. So Grace, you want to tell everybody the titles of those?
Yes. Oh, thanks, Allison. So I have What Will Fit, which is following Olivia, who was trying to find a pumpkin that will fit in her basket at the farmer's market. I have Up to My Knees, which is about a girl who plants a seed and watches it grow bigger, bigger over the summer. And then I have The Last Marshmallow, which is about two girls who have three marshmallows and they have to figure out what to do with the last marshmallow. And then I also have Circle Sphere, which shows three kids blowing bubbles and they're curious to see if they will still get a round bubble, even if they blow through a triangle bubble blower, things like that. So I'm really glad you like them because I really wanted to make these concepts really simple for the board book crowd, but I think that they're also kind of fun that you put those basic foundations for math at the same time.
Absolutely. And I would recommend them if you weren't the person asking, just so we're clear.
Well, this has been great. Thank you so much for all these wonderful recommendations. I think I am going to head out to either my local indie or maybe bookshops.org. Is it bookshop.org?
It's bookshop.org. Yeah.
Yes. Please shop at bookshop.org for the holidays. We'll do all of our holiday shopping. Now we end as we always do with what we're grateful for. And Allison, why don't you start us off?
I am grateful for health right now. I just think with everything that's been happening with the just what's going on with the pandemic and the rising death toll, it is really I just feel grateful that I am okay and that my parents are okay and that so far my family is doing pretty well right now. So yeah, basic level gratitude right now. Just glad to be here.
That's great. Grace, how about you? What are you grateful for?
Oh, Allison's was so nice in mine.
I know.
I am very grateful for my Etsy shop. I opened my Etsy shop last week. The last time I had my Etsy shop open was 4 years ago, so I haven't had this shop open for a while. So I decided just to open it just for the holiday season, and I put out like a little notice in my newsletter, and I've been getting so many people buying prints and things. It's been so fun. I don't know. It's kind of giving me like a little high. Like every time I get like a little alert, like someone has bought, you know, congratulations, someone has bought your print, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so exciting. So I'm really, really grateful that, that people are purchasing prints from my Etsy shop. It makes me feel really happy. So
I'm happy to know about it too, because now that you guys are helping with my holiday shopping here as well. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Now, Alvina, what are you grateful for?
Well, I am grateful to be on vacation. And, you know, actually, Allison, when you were talking earlier, when I was sharing about Bob heading to assisted living, I am grateful that he has the financial means to move into an assisted living facility, that he has a willingness to do so. And I'm really thankful that the facility is so wonderful, that everyone is so nice. Like it makes it for an easy transition, I think. So yeah. I'm really grateful for that, for sure.
Really important peace of mind, for sure.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to Hachette Audio, Little Brown Books for Young Readers, and Alex at PC Work Studio for producing and editing this podcast. You can find me at Planet Alvina on Twitter and at Alvina Ling on Instagram.
And I'm at Pacey Lynn on both platforms. Allison, where can people find you?
I am Allison L. Morris on Twitter and Kid Lit Girl on Instagram.
We love hearing feedback, so keep tagging and messaging us on social media using the hashtag BookFriendsForever, or send us a message via our website, BookFriendsForever.com. You can also see more detailed show notes there.
And if you have any suggestions for future topics to cover, please let us know. And of course, please remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you like this podcast, please tell a friend about it.
And please don't forget to help us out by filling out our survey. Whatever you write will affect our future episodes, so please fill that out.
I'm Alvina Ling.
And I'm Grace Lynn.
And I'm Allison Morris.
Have a great week.
And don't forget to read.